Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
All right, welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you till 10 o'clock this evening. So the Republic of Ireland against Northern Ireland is the main focus of the evening. The international friendly at the Aviva Stadium. We'll have John Giles in studio as always at 7:30 to build up to the game. But he's going to stick with us as well for the football show. So you will get John Giles' post-match analysis from around about 9:30. We're also between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock going to bring you some more of the best of our roadshow from the Olympia on Tuesday night. Justin Marshall, All Blacks legend, Brian O'Driscoll, Paul O'Connell, Keith Wood, taking us through that hour, talking memories, Ireland, New Zealand, and all that sort of stuff. So that coming up between 8 and 9. Kieran Cunningham is in studio. How are you?
I'm good, yeah.
Richie, how you keeping?
Going to give him my Sonny Knowles wave for the day that's in it. God bless him.
I literally just heard. Yeah. And that led to a very interesting off-air conversation about Ray Tracy having a number one record.
Completely unaware of this.
He did, yeah. Yeah, because we were just chatting off air about, I think John Giles might have been friendly with Sonny Knowles, and that brought up Luke Kelly, was a great pal of the Ireland players around that time, and he used to travel with them in the 70s to games, and there'd be a massive sing-song. But I think Ray Tracy used to say that he won, whatever it was, 30 caps for Ireland. He thinks 20 of those were because he used to bring his banjo. But he actually did release a single. You probably Google it, it'll come up, and I think it was number one single. And Sonny Knowles had the distinction of, I think it was the 1966 National Song Contest. He entered two songs and they both came joint last with 0 points. And one of them was called Who We May Go and Cleha Moore. I went to the big match. So I'd love to see the lyrics of that one, what was it about?
Yeah. Wow. So Ray, I was sitting beside Ray Tracy on one of the away trips once. Mm. And he told me he had a fear of flying.
He did.
Considering the business he was in is remarkable.
I remember that because,
I thought he was saying.
I went on loads of trips with Ray because Ray used to organise. Like back then, there used to be a charter for the team and the press and some fans.
The good old days.
Yeah, but now press and fans fly separately. But so you'd got to know Ray well over the years, and I remember that he would have a couple of I think Bacardis possibly, like John. I think this seems to be a thing with footballers of that vintage that they like the Bacardi.
He's sitting outside.
No, but he knows he likes Bacardi. So I met Dunphy the other day for a piece about watching the Manchester Derby with him. And he rang.
I love how you invited yourself to his house. To watch the game
with.
I'll go to Duffy. I'll tell him I'm writing an article.
Yeah, but there is a connection through the paper, obviously. But he talked to John 5 times during the game. So the RT panel still exists, but it's in exile and it's in a house in Ranelagh. But he was saying Eamon rings John all the time for his bets because he has an account with a betting exchange and. He bets he's involved in in-game betting, and he changes his mind on score lines or something depending on what John tells him. And he says, "I would keep John in the granny flat at the bottom of the garden and just keep him for best." He says, "I would pay him in Bacardi."
Was the Ray Tracy single, I'm just doing some feverish Googling here, was it called Sailing Home backed with Punch and Judy Man?
I remember the Punch and Judy Man, that was the one, yeah.
Dolphin Records put it out in 1978. Yeah. I don't have details of the charts placing.
Wow. 40 years ago. Yeah, we should have had a feature for the anniversary. We're
gonna get the music, come on, JP. Get
the music.
I want this before the end of the news round.
There's loads of listings for it as regards like the catalog number and all that kind of stuff from Dolphin, but I don't think there's any audio of it.
It's not on YouTube, no?
No, it's not on YouTube.
I'm really glad that John is going to be coming in at 7:30 because I certainly don't want us to be talking behind his back. But this is one of the great scenarios of Irish sport of a Sunday afternoon. This is the sort of stuff Declan Lynch would love to hear about.
Hunting down Ray Tracy single.
No.
Yeah, but
Dunphy
the other thing,
and Giles still talking 4 times.
I don't
talk to my family that much.
And Liam Brady. Liam Brady would have been part of the conversation. Only Liam was at Arsenal and Wolves.
I think
Eamon had rung him just before, but that's the reason he wasn't ringing him during the Manchester Derby. So I think the three of them seem to ring each other during games.
Oh,
so they live. There's
nice,
this little bubble that still exists. The RT panel is still
there.
Yeah.
I love how Eamon is gambling on what John tells him, though. Mid-game.
But
what are you thinking? I'm just having a quick look. Under 3.5 or over 3.5 yellow cards. What are you thinking? All right, I'm going all in.
It's the Oracle. Who wouldn't
trust anybody?
Well, I know. I'm just wondering now. Maybe
we.
I should start something. Maybe if we could get them onto a WhatsApp group where we all had a little bit of access to this knowledge on a
far better than
Kilban, daily. Well, I didn't want to.
Good luck persuading John to join the WhatsApp group
and then pass on. His
Gable doesn't even have a mobile, so I would say these guys aren't into that. I think John has a mobile. No, Eamon's never had a mobile. No,
I find that hard to believe.
No, he definitely has never had a mobile.
Is this in the same way that you don't have a smartphone,
or do you? Well, I don't have a smartphone.
Yeah, this. All right, Enda.
I think we have the song.
Do we
have the song?
Cue Ray.
Down the lanes of foggy chimneys, through the little seaside town, strives the east wind.
Ah, this is beautiful.
That is rather beautiful.
That's a very, it's a nice, it's a very 70s Ireland singing
but
voice.
There was a... The most legendary sing-song that I remember in Ireland, on an Ireland trip, was after... is it a bit of an echo there?
It's fine.
Yeah, was after the draw with Germany and Ibaraki. And when we got back in Japan in 2002 World Cup, and got back to... We stayed in a place called Chiba, just outside Tokyo. But we arrived back about 2 a.m. in the morning. And the bar, I can't even remember, there was a bar in the hotel, but there was a vending machine with tiny little Japanese cans of beer. And so they basically...
Tore into
that for the night, and a great sing-song started. I remember Ray singing, and he possibly sang the Punch and Judy, man.
Oh, yeah.
But and I remember there was a separate sing-song in the Team Hotel, where Damien Duff was singing, what's that song, Sylvester, Roll 40 medals on his chest, big chest. That's the song.
Lost me.
Did this actually happen? Sounds
this
like the sort of
happened.
Stuff now was
no,
a dream.
No. Google, ask Damien Duff about it.
All right, we will. Next time he's in, we will most definitely ask him that.
His brother was there in guitar. His brother was only about 14 then, but I think he's a musician now, actually.
So. Ah. Well, John Giles coming your way at 7:30. We're definitely going to talk to him about the in-match phone calls. Who's ringing who?
I think John rang the first time,
okay,
and Eamon rang the other four times.
Because I'm worried that John's trying to sit, analyse the match. Deep thinking football man, watching City against United, appreciating David Silva, and Dunphy's wrecking his head, ringing him every 10 minutes. What do you think? Come on, tell me the good stuff.
It they wasn't all love like Souness as well. No. They have a lot of praise for Souness.
They don't get Souness on the phone as well, do they?
No, but they watch him in Sky. Oh. They like Souness.
Oh, Souness started answering calls.
Proper football man.
Proper football man, exactly. So John Giles coming away very shortly. We're going to be talking Ireland, Northern Ireland tonight, historically. With John, but tonight's game, Richie, the team is in.
Yeah, we have the team in, and we have both teams in for tonight's friendly at the Aviva Stadium. Ireland start with Darren Randolph in goal. We're going with, we think, a back three of Shane Duffy, John Egan, and a first start for Blackburn's Daryl Lenihan. Seamus Coleman almost certainly will be operating as the right wing back. The left wing back will be either James McLean or Robbie Brady, we're guessing. Captain for the night, Glenn Whelan's in midfield, along with Jeff Hendrick. Callum O'Dowda supports Callum Robinson. For Northern Ireland, a slightly more straightforward 4-1-4-1.
Not that straightforward.
It's Bailey Peacock-Farrell that's put me off. He starts in goal. A back four then of Michael Smith, Craig Cathcart, Johnny Evans, Jamal Lewis. Corey Evans anchors the midfield. Gavin White gets a first start on the right. Stephen Davis captains the side in midfield alongside George Saville and Stuart Dallas. And then up front, it's Liam Boyce. Kickoff is at 7:45. Michael Abafemi, incidentally, on the bench for tonight's game. He says he's all in for the Republic of Ireland. The teenage Southampton striker seemingly ended speculation over his international future, A, by tweeting a picture of himself in an Ireland jersey, while his agency said today that Ireland is the country Abafemi naturally wants to play for, given the fact that he was born here. Martin O'Neill suggested this week, just yesterday in fact, that the 18-year-old needed more time to make up his mind, as he also qualifies for both Nigeria and England. He's been handed the number 20 shirt for tonight's friendly and has earned a place on the bench.
So yesterday the indication from Martin O'Neill was that Abafemi wasn't going to travel to Denmark. If he is all in, does he now travel to Denmark? Or do you take him at his word and say, well, he's still 18, he's played 20 minutes of Premier League football. On merit, he doesn't deserve to be playing in the game on Monday night, so therefore we don't bring him anyways? Or do you just bring him and who knows, something glorious happens and we're 3-0
up? Maybe he comes off the bench and scores two tonight.
It could depend on what happens tonight.
We're live on all our social channels. If you haven't seen this, I want this guy starting every game.
It's like it was fairly definitive from his player work.
All
CSM.
In, or the muscles are just about squeezing all in on that jersey.
Much like watching you in a Mayo jersey, Nathan. due to the current speculation,
in other areas.
Due to the current speculation surrounding Michael Obafemi as Michael's representatives, we would like to go on the record and say that we are not in talks with Nigeria or England, nor is it something we've ever pursued, says Playerworks CSM. Since Mark O'Toole spotted Michael early on, he, along with the other staff at Ireland, have given Michael a great opportunity, which he's enjoyed immensely. Michael was born in Ireland, so this is the country he naturally wants to play for. Martin O'Neill has shown great faith in Michael and wants to repay that faith by helping the team achieve success. Michael's 100% committed to Ireland and looking forward to an exciting future with the national team.
They're the same agents that Declan Rice had before the summer.
Crucially.
Before his head was turned, as people say. But
Martin O'Neill's press conference now is going to be interesting this evening because...
Well, like Declan Rice said very similar stuff before the Turkey game.
Declan Rice has played three times with the senior team.
And after the games, before and after those games, that he was completely committed. So until someone has captained a competitive game, I don't think you can say anyone is all in yet. You know,
it's nothing is definitive. 90 seconds on Monday.
They put it up on Instagram. Is that not a legally binding contract right now?
Twitter. You can always delete it. You see.
You can always delete it. All right. Yeah. Because what will be interesting is if he is all in, and if he is, what happened in the last 24 hours that O'Neill went from a situation where his understanding was that Obafemi wasn't ready to fully commit. He was still all in, but wasn't willing to go to Denmark and, if need be, play in
it's
that
It's a good
game.
Question. It'd be good if we got some answers tonight. Yeah, it's a good question.
Because he was asked at the press conference yesterday about that one of the journalists had been talking to his agent and had heard that he was...
All in.
All in. And O'Neill was like, well, news to me. Don't know who you're hearing it from. So, listen... Maybe Martin O'Neill has done absolutely nothing wrong here. It just feels like the last couple of days have turned into a bit of a mess again.
Yeah.
For absolutely no reason.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, like people, you forget how young these guys are. Like
he's a kid.
Him and Declan Rice and Jack Grealish before them. They are kids.
Like the two
and
of them
having to having to make massive decisions and there's so many people in their ears telling them different things to do. And I do feel actually sorry for them because... Like, what is Irishness to a lot of people now? Like, what is your Irish identity? Like to people like Seamus McDonough, who read the proclamation or recited the proclamation of independence to Owen Hand when he was called up, it was a huge thing. We know to Kevin Caban and Gary Breen, a lot of players that generation, they had a massive sense of Irishness growing up in England. But with a lot of people, it's more fluid now. It's very different. And a lot of countries are far more cynical and hard headed and ruthless about this. Like, you look at, like, three of the top European nations, they all either won World Cups or European Championships in the last 12 years. Italy, Mauro Camoranesi was from Argentina. His Italian connection was a great-grandfather, but just under Italian law, that allowed him to apply for citizenship. When they won the World Cup in 2006, he said into the microphone in Spanish, "This is for the boys in the barrios in Buenos Aires." And he said in an interview afterwards, "I'll always be Argentine, but I'm proud to have done this for Italy." You know, Deco has 75 caps for Portugal. Deco is Brazilian, but he lived in Portugal for 6 years, so he was able to apply for citizenship. Diego Costa played twice for Brazil, now he plays for Spain, because their laws allow you to apply for citizenship through residency as well. So,
but what's changed over the last four or five years?
But I'm saying that's three of the strong nations. Like, I don't think, they just think, if we can get a player, we get him. But we're kind of, there's more stuff here about Irish identity and Irishness, and are you really committed? Like a guy could be committed to playing for England, Ireland, and Nigeria. They could all mean the same to him. He might have that kind of fluid identity. Like whoever.
And
he
that
goes
can
with.
Easily be the case with Michael Obafemi, who was born in Dublin, whose parents are Nigerian, and grew up in London.
Yeah, he spent most of his life. Like, he was only here a very brief spell, and like, his family are Nigerian. So,
We were talking about this in the Keith Andrews show, and like one of the questions I have is why these are being played out in public right now. So say somebody like Michael Keane from Everton played for Ireland at underage level. There never seemed to be this huge, big controversy and saga about, well, actually, this is a guy who is worth 30 million.
Well, I think part of it, Nathan, is we're kind of desperate for new blood.
Is that it?
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it.
Is there a way we could handle this that actually Michael Obafemi isn't the story for the last 3 days? That you just have a quiet word with him, try and bring him along, you bring him quietly into training, training.
What should have happened with Obafemi this week is the exact same, and it's a different set of circumstances, that Leo Connor of Manchester United, 19 years of age, he wasn't named in the provisional squad or in the cut-down squad, but O'Neill says, we're bringing this kid over and he's going to have a look at the setup and train with us for the next few days. And he's not going to play. Like, that's exactly what should have happened with Obafemi this week. Bring him in, have a look at him, let him have a look at things. If he wants to commit, let him commit. give him the time, give him the space. He's 18 years of age. There's plenty of time for all this. If he's good enough and if he wants to, he'll play for us.
Mm. And come on, lads. How could a modern-day pundit not have a mobile phone? Says Pat Offaly.
But he's a retired pundit.
Because he's why do you need a mobile phone when you've got a football brain?
Well, there is that. Yeah. So the Ireland team is sticking with three at the back. I have no idea why James McLean is playing in this match, considering he's suspended.
We're talking about this outside. Like, why? It's mad stuff. He's suspended. And if there's a game where there could be a bit of a needle and James McLean could be targeted a bit, this is it. And you would think even his club would say, you know, do you really need this? Could you not just rest up for a couple of days or train back at home? Like, he's obviously keen to play, and I would say he's very keen to play against the North. But you just question the wisdom of it. Like, what is the point?
What's to gain from a purely footballing perspective? Yeah, what is to gain?
Like, we know what he can do. Exactly. Martin O'Neill knows what he can do, so...
Yeah.
What's the point?
So that game kicks off 7:45?
7:45, yeah. John Walters joined the Keith Andrews show earlier today on our social channels and expressed his frustrations with the style of play employed by Ireland at home.
Yeah, we've touched up on it and I've played in it the past few years. It's almost like when we're at home, we play like an away team.
Yeah.
We give the team possession. We're not really like a Liverpool or a Man City on the break where we have that pace where we go and full at it. So when you do surrender possession so much, you end up picking the ball on the edge of your box, and it's sometimes difficult to watch. It's very difficult to play in as a player. So I know the players will want to be getting on the ball and making things happen. You want to see chances. You want to see an exciting game. But the end result, you know, I think we need to win.
John Walters.
Yeah, John Walters has been very much John Walters. He's, for a current player, he's been quite outspoken, I think, lately, which is interesting. So
yeah,
when he hangs up his boots, it'll be very interesting.
It will be. It'll be interesting when he does hang up his boots, whether I suspect he's going to try and go for another season. He may not play again this season. I think he was saying he probably won't be fit till maybe April.
Yeah.
It's too late at that stage to go on loan to a Championship team. It'd be very hard to get back into a Burnley team in the Premier League. But I think if there's a chance of playing for Ireland at Euro 2020...
Yeah, how old is he now? 36? Is it 35? Okay.
So he still has a chance. And with the lack of depth in the squad right now, and him being a good, solid head, even with maybe a few issues with some of the management team, you want him there.
Yeah. No, I've always liked him as both as a player and as a character. He's just...
He's different.
Solid. He's very different. Yeah, he is. There's a difference to him. Yeah.
So there is another game, another friendly on Saturday night, Richie, that you have some team news for?
5-3-6
Just looking for a response. I don't believe that for a second.
Joe Schmidt's made four changes to the Ireland side for Saturday's test with the All Blacks at the Aviva, Nathaniel. Rob Kearney replaces Jordan Larmour at full back, while Gary Ringrose, as expected, comes in for the injured Robbie Henshaw to partner Bundy Aki in the centre. More of which anon. Ian Henderson makes way for Devon Toner in the second row, while the injured Sean O'Brien's replaced by Leinster teammate Dan Levy at open side. Kieran Marmion, meanwhile, has overcome an ankle issue to take his place at scrum half. The game will see Aki come up against the country of his birth, but Schmidt says the Connacht Centre won't be feeling any pangs of conflict.
Everybody knows he's going to give absolutely 100%. You know, it's like asking, you know, was Jerome Kano 100% ready to play for the All Blacks because he was born in a foreign country, or Chris Marsoi or Joe Rokothoko or any of those guys. So, you know, having coached all those guys, you know, they were very ready to play for the All Blacks. I think Bundy Aki is very ready to play for us in this weekend's fixture.
New Zealand named their side this morning with Ryan Crotty coming in for the injured centre Sonny Bill Williams. Their head coach Steve Hansen was asked how his side must set about beating Ireland on Saturday.
Well, you hang on to it yourself and have a crack at them at source. So set piece is going to be vital. What we do with the ball ourselves will be important. So we're going to kick it, we're going to kick it well. Make sure we get a chance to get it back and do a wee bit of suffocating ourselves.
He's a charmer.
Oh, I love him.
He is,
throwing out grenades left, right, and centre.
But they've thrown, not just him, but a few others in the camp have thrown out a few this week. And they have this no dickheads policy, don't they? Yeah, that they say is an integral part of their culture.
Well, it's quite a subjective feeling about somebody.
Yeah.
So depends what passes.
No dickheads.
We have that policy in here as well. Yet some people slip through the cracks. Isn't that right, Richie?
Cheers, Nick.
All this week, Off the Ball is teaming up with Volkswagen, a proud sponsor of Irish Rugby. They want to reward Ireland's dedicated rugby fans by giving them the hottest tickets in town. Tonight, we're giving you the chance to win an Ireland Limited Edition Series jersey, and you'll also go into the end of week draw to win a pair of tickets for Ireland against New Zealand this Saturday, along with accommodation in Dublin City Centre. To win, just identify our mystery voice, who always looks forward to Richie's sarcastic interjections in the news round.
Did never get old.
Who wrote
really?
That?
Really? Really?
Didn't never get old.
Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner before the end of the show. And remember to drop into the Volkswagen Fan TV Tiguan on Lansdowne Road ahead of the Autumn International Games this month for your chance to meet a rugby legend, test your rugby knowledge and skills, and win some great prizes. For more information, follow Volkswagen on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It is all with thanks to Volkswagen, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. JP, wasn't me, Richie. I would never, ever say such a thing.
You would. You'd say worse. Premier League clubs have agreed in principle to introduce video assistant referees from the start of next season. The system, successfully used at the World Cup earlier this summer and has been trialled in the FA Cup and League Cup matches in England, the Premier League will now make a formal request to the International Football Association Board and FIFA to use VAR from August of 2019. Sticking with matters Premier League, they've also decided to retain a shortened summer transfer window. This summer, clubs only had until the day before the season started to sign players rather than the usual end of August. Meanwhile, outgoing Premier League chief executive, or chairman apparently, Richard Scudamore, will receive a £5 million bonus. Each of the 20 clubs are going to contribute £250,000 each to the leaving gift, which will be paid over the next 3 years. Scudamore will be kept on in a consultancy role, and Susanna Dinich has been confirmed as his successor.
Well, with all the madness today of Brexit and ministers resigning, it's one of those, a good day to bury some bad news.
Yeah, because this would probably have led like BBC, ITV, Sky, etc., only for Brexit.
You see, you say sarcastically he deserves it. From a purely business perspective, he most definitely deserves it.
Yeah, but that's the entitlement culture.
As part of his job,
which is already worth £2.5 million a year.
Exactly, but what has he done with television rights during his time? They're up to, what, £6 billion? In television rights revenue?
But he's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing his job, which he was really, really well paid for. So why should he get a golden handshake?
Because,
like this as well?
Well, I'd imagine for several reasons. He knows where the bodies are buried. You also don't want him moving to a rival organisation. I don't know, there's been a European Super League that's been talked about. If you're in charge of the European Super League, who's the guy you want leading your rights negotiations?
It's but is this not part of the entitlement culture that's in the Premier League? Like, and English football, so like you look at somebody like Gordon Taylor in the PFA, like I think Gordon Taylor's what, £3.5 million a year or something? Yeah.
Have you ever heard a footballer say a bad word about Gordon Taylor? No.
But does that mean he should get paid three and a half? I've never heard anybody say a bad word about you. You don't get paid £3.5 million
really?
A year.
Really? Really? You haven't hung around this office for too long.
Other than Richie, so. But,
with Scudamore, there's clearly a lot more going on towards being, you know, giving them a £5 million to stick around.
£5 million is
in a
nothing.
In a consultancy role.
In comparison to what he has earned, the 20 people who
employ
him.
But he hasn't been working for nothing.
Well, I understand that.
He's getting seven-figure salary
and that is how
year.
I'm not saying it's right, but the question that somehow big business is going to get morals all of a sudden is a bit ridiculous.
But this has been brought into question in the UK for a long time now, but this kind of entitlement culture and this massive bonus, the massive bonuses that are being paid out in the city in London, etc. So it's not just a football issue, and people have questioned it. It's they look at, like, for example, in journalism, when I went over in the early 90s, I got paid a salary that journalists now starting in national papers in the UK, they don't get that salary. They get less than that. 25 years later.
And you've given some of it up to support them.
No, but I'm saying that's an example. Mm. Like everybody else, the squeeze has been put on except the fat cats like Scudamore, etc.
Sure, I agree with everything you're saying. I am somewhat surprised by the outrage that this is happening. It was always going to happen. I think the outrage came, like you're saying again, each of them's contributing £250,000.
What they're trying to say is the money is already there.
It is their money and they're giving £250,000 each away. It's that when you look at a club by club and think, what could be done?
There's still quite a few clubs that don't pay the living wage.
Yeah.
And they think that they're giving this guy £250,000.
He's 16 out of 20 or something like that don't pay the living wage. Some numbers like that, maybe between 12 and 16. So for them to be giving up $250,000, so you're giving a golden handcuff agreement, not even a golden handshake, to Richard Scudamore, seems a bit ludicrous.
Newsround is brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. Text in from Sharon, who's 18 and a student in Rathgar.
More Sonny Knowles, she requests.
What a bunch of know-alls, but that's what you get when you're working for a tech station, Mickey Mouse. You guys should go back to junior school, as between you, you can't put a word between you.
Can't put a word between
Sharon's
you.
Just angry. I don't know, she's just angry tonight.
Get back to your studies.
Maybe she
Sharon.
Texts the wrong station, the is all I can imagine. She could not be referring
talk
to us.
Talk to John.
Surely.
Give John a ring, he'll calm her down.
Are we done, or have we time for one more story?
Let's have more
one
from Sharon.
One more story.
Let's have more from Sharon.
Text back in, Sharon.
Leinster have been hit with a significant injury blow. Joe Tamani facing 5 months out with a hamstring injury. The former Wallabies wing picked up the knock in the recent Pro 14 win away to the Southern Kings. Well, very finally, the GPA are strongly against the proposed rule change surrounding the hand pass in football. A limit of 3 consecutive hand passes among 5 potential rule changes to be discussed by the GAA's Central Council this weekend. If approved, the alterations will be trialled in the pre-season provincial competitions and the Allianz Leagues. The GPA also strongly against, they say, the proposed changes to the kick-out rule and that pertaining to sideline kicks. The Players Association have backed, though, the introduction of a sin bin period for a black card and a widening of the rule surrounding the mark.
Is this a bit after time? Have they not changed some of these rules already?
It seems the kick-out zoning thing, from reading their statements, that they're going off the old proposal about having 2 players from each side between the 45s, whereas now it's being taken from the 20 and has to go to the 45, which I don't think anybody has an issue with.
No.
No, no, it's kind of an odd statement. It seems...
I'm just delaying you because you're trying to get to the match.
I'm trying to run a
I've also just thought, though, are we going to cause some ructions within the panel phone group this evening? Because John is going to be in with us all night while the match is on. What if Eamon sees something in the first 5 minutes and he wants to change his outlook on the game and he can't get through?
Get him on.
Don't know, nobody would bet on a friend if he didn't.
So will we?
Let him call in. I'm sure there'd be no issue there.
All right.
On
that note, thanks, Kieran.
No problem.
Thanks, Richie. John Giles is up next.
Off the ball. On Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.